Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Neil Baker Psychic Hour. I'm Kristen, and I'm here with psychic and author Neil Baker. My speech is a little slurred today. I must be tired. Still, Neil?
Well,
it's that foggy happens. Weather. It's lovely here in Long Beach, nice and cool. So I'm probably feeling a little more cozy than I should this morning. But anyway, here we are, and we're back today to continue our discussion about past lives in our individual chakras, of course, in our birth date as well, and how to access those past lives, or how to bring energy from those past lives into our life, also how to resolve issues from our past lives.
It all is sort of under the same ceiling. We can travel back in time and try to figure out what our past lives have been, but we our mode of transportation actually in moving backward beyond our lifetime, going backward beyond our lifetime, takes us more into the element of the logic, I would call it the logic of dreams, the logic of the dream state. Now, our mode of transportation, in my estimation, is the right brain hemisphere. The right brain hemisphere is the part of the brain is split up into a left brain and a right brain. The right brain energy has more to do with dreams. The element of our dreams, our visions, our imagination, the world of art, of the arts, the muse, all of that is the right brain energy. And that energy, I think, in turn also captures the elements that are beyond space and time, as we know it, to move into other dimensions, whether it's intergalactic or astral or in a realm that defies the barriers of time and goes into past lives, even into the soul and the astral levels. I think our mode of transportation into that realm is part of our right brain energy. And this is scientifically calculated too. It's just not the dialogue of the arts. Our right brain is more involved in that consciousness of the dream world, or if you will, the symbolic language of dreams. And this is the mode of communication that the right brain gives to the body. Now, the left brain is more of the world, is the culture of logic and science and even language, calculations, math. That's the left brain. And you kind of need the two brains to work together so that you don't get too off balanced in any one realm. But when you go backward in time, when you use that mode of transformation, which I refer to as the right brain, and you take some logic from the left brain with it, you're kind of balanced in your hemispheres, and you start to go back into a visionary world of past lives, then you can actually tap into, without even moving, the world of your past. And I'm talking about the past,
past life
energy. Yeah. And that, you know, we're talking about the higher self and the subtle energetic anatomy of the mind and the spirit and the unconsciousness. So all of that takes us into the, well, I don't want to call it the metaphor of past life, but I want to call it the reality of past life. It can be extend itself into metaphors and whatnot, but that's where it is. And many of us, unbeknownst to the general public, many of us seekers and mystics not only have had past lives in other planets and other dimensions and other realms, including the astral realm and the soul realm, but many of us actually come from, I believe, the civilization of Atlantis.
Right, we were discussing Atlantis last night, actually. What was it, like 150,000 years B.C.?
Well, it was about...
130?
It flourished from about 150,000 B.C. Oh. and until about 10,000 B.C.
So that would make many of... You think many of us are from Atlantis?
Well, I don't know. Many of what? Many of our current population?
Right,
many
that's
of our
asking.
World population?
Many of the
point?
World population.
I think that many of us who would be considered esoteric or seers, mystics, visionaries, dreamers,
so mystics.
Do come from that. And I don't think Atlantis was basically a civilization that was planted on the Earth.
Because it's kind of a...
From the Earth. I don't think it grew up from the Earth. I think it came from another planet.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because a lot of people want to think they're from Atlantis, I've noticed. Kind of a popular... movement in New Age culture.
Yeah.
You know, there's an attachment to that. So, but if you're saying if you're a visionary, if you're someone who's a psychic, an authentic psychic, you probably had an ancient connection.
More than likely.
To this energy.
More than likely.
And it's related to extraterrestrial life on other planets because you think it was...
Or you've encountered a guide or a spirit that was involved in that time and you've connected to them. Now, now we're not talking about, you know, people who are insane or schizophrenic. We're talking about a logical conclusion, and that can be in the works of the person themselves. You know, you can kind of gauge their life and see exactly how much logic they have in their life. I mean, a lot of people walking the streets can claim to be from the city of Atlantis, but I don't know about that.
Mm-hmm.
But what I do know about are the legitimate people who are making a claim about the civilization of Atlantis, and their lives kind of reflect some divine wisdom or knowledge or action that would demonstrate it as such. You know, Atlantis started off as an agricultural civilization, and I think what they had the secrets of the earth and growth in agriculture and farming. So they linked themselves to the basis of the planet first. But they had a divine energy from another world. You know, we talk about the seeds of dust, the cosmic dust, that was brought onto our planet from other dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Atlanteans were basically people that were sort of a hybrid of energy. They were born on a lot of them were born on the Earth, but the seeds of their knowledge came from other dimensions and solar systems as such. But this, you know, and so the technology and science of Atlantis sort of evolved into a high degree of sophistication, and we kind of refer to it as the Golden Age of Atlantis, where we have this race of highly developed individuals who are astoundingly acute in agriculture and engineering and astronomy and even the healing arts, because they were the original Atlanteans could just put the palm of their hand over a wound and the blood would reform itself into skin. The molecular action of the body would just heal itself. So there was that healing energy that I do even think that some of them are contemporary healers, and I'm talking about from Christ on in terms of contemporary energy, not the ancient civilizations, but more of the biblical attitudes, adapted a lot of that energy and knowledge and, if you will, primitive technology from that time era, because there wasn't really anything like some of our sophisticated developments in terms of metals and steel and plastics and things like that weren't available at that time, except in the hard mineral earth that was that had come from the planet itself and that they had developed to some degree. But the Atlanteans did have advanced forms of technology that were forever lost in the ultimate destruction of their civilization by the volcano and the flood. But they also used, you see, where we come from, we're in a continuum of that knowledge. And that knowledge I refer to as the life force. And that energy of the life force actually extracts the energy even from the earth. The heat from the coal transforms into certain powers of locomotion, so we know how to put that energy into the service of our movement. Because the one thing that the Atlanteans had to deal with was movement on the planet. They were no longer in a realm where they could fly, so to speak. They could in their astral body, but they were, in terms of being inhabitants of the planet, still reduced by gravity and the physical state of the body. But they still retained the knowledge, and that's what I think was much important. They also, you know, it's interesting because they also cultivated plants, and so they had plant wisdom and flower wisdom, flower medicine, plant medicine. And many of our important medicines are still derived from plants and things like that. But, you know, I mean, I think that as we unlock our brains and we get into that deep knowledge and we tap back into that zone, There is something, I think, even that we hold in the DNA of our right brain that contains seeds of that time zone. And some of us are more in tune with it than others, of course.
So the evolutionary process, even if we're not exactly directly linked to Atlantis by way of like a past life there's something in our code that comes from there? Is that what you're saying, in our brain?
I think so. Hmm. I think that we all hold some, I mean, we all hold a little bit of knowledge about animals, insects, reptiles, birds, fishes, and we hold the DNA of all of that energy in our brain, as much as we hold the energy of Eden, as much as we hold the energy of the creation of the earth, as much as we hold the energy of the knowledge of angels and spirits and guides and aliens and whatnot. I think that we have tapped into that, a certain element, and we sometimes use tools to get into that. A lot of people will use crystals. I think that the Aquarians, the Atlanteans used Aquarians. I was thinking about the Age of Aquarius.
Mm-hmm.
The inhabitants of Atlantis did use the tremendous power of crystals, but they knew how to unlock the energy. They knew how to really power themselves with it. And I think even from that, they did have some sophisticated knowledge about flying objects. I think that in the astral realm, a lot of the Atlanteans did astral project and did a lot of traveling in their physical state. But the life force of actually powering an aircraft and having a communication system, I think at that time was on a different level than how we see it today. I don't think they had airports or anything like that. I don't think they had landing sites and jets taking off and on. But I do think they had other objects of energy. We often see celestial creatures and aliens and weird spacecrafts that sort of disappear.
Mm-hmm.
They almost seem to be celestial objects that have some kind of formation of energy in them, flashing lights,
mm-hmm.
and oval shapes and things like that. And oftentimes people say that they just disappear. You and I have seen these objects ourselves. I've seen them since I was a little boy. Now, those some of them are empowered and maneuvered by energy, others by inhabitants. But I do believe that not all the citizens of Atlantis perished at that time. I do believe that there are some living that have defied the limits of physical death and defied that energy and are still among us.
On the planet or in other realms?
Well, they're not really, you know, they're not going to be Joe Blow and they have a family of four and they go to work and they, you know, look at their watch. No, they are unique individuals. I've seen them, but they have the power to visibly appear and then evaporate. I've seen them in front of me and evaporate. Not all of them are from Atlantis, mind you. But a lot of them hold the energy of that time.
See, what
indeed, the souls of all the people on the planet are walking around too. A lot of these ghosts are leftover astral bodies.
See, what's curious to me is that an area that was so advanced, its inhabitants, are they coming back into a human body to resolve karma, or are they involved in that system of the Earth, the Atlanteans? In the same way that we are.
Well, you know, karma, the Atlanteans didn't really deal with karma.
Right. That's
they dealt with just the essence of creation and the activation of the mind and the spirit. They didn't really, they had sensual pleasures and they indulged and they had certain behavioral patterns that we could say, well, today that's going to produce karma. But they weren't a people that were into destructive element, and the purpose of their materialistic progress was not bent on the ego. It was bent on a technology that was to advance our planet and give it a head start, so that they could see the elements of time. They even could see the elements of their own destruction.
So their creative energy was separated from the ego. It was more connected to a higher purpose.
It was, and they didn't say, well, our civilization is going to be destroyed because of karma.
Right.
It's part of the life process of the Earth. The life force and the death force of our planet automatically locks in a form of creation and destruction that has nothing in and of itself to do with karma. So they didn't see the element of life as being a karmic situation as much as a realm where the ruling class were really advanced forms of energy that had to do with invention, creation, healing, that kind of thing. And the satisfaction of their physical appetites was just based upon the attitude of their body. But it wasn't. They really didn't have a law system, and they didn't have a temple of sin, or they didn't have.
Too
a
bad.
Court,
no.
You know. Well, yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, it's interesting because I think that many of us, as we get into the element of who we are and where we come from, I think we sometimes limit ourselves. And I'm not again preaching that some of us can be deluded into thinking we are something we are not. We all have to kind of give some sort of rational basis for who we are on the planet in this lifetime. And I think that somehow defines where we come from, what our origins are, you know. Very few of us digress. As if we're from an advanced civilization, we've come back to perform other higher works of energy, higher elements of communication, higher artistic values that break the boundaries of conventional art, things like this that we hold in our brains that we've come back to share with the planet.
Okay, Neil, we have a very slow switchboard today. I just want to tell you that. So we're going to be able to probably revisit this a little later in the show, but we do have one caller if you'd like to speak with her. And this is actually, she pressed one, which is good, because last time she didn't. So I don't know if it brings Deanna on. Hi, Deanna.
Hey, how are you, Kristen?
Good, thanks. How are you?
I'm okay. I didn't press one yet because I didn't have a question or a comment, but I liked what you were talking about today.
I did want to, I was email you because I wasn't sure if you wanted to talk to us last week, and I didn't take your call because you didn't have your hand up. So I want to know that I was thinking about you. And
thanks.
11-8-9 is her birth date, and it's number.
And I wanted to tell Neil that my cousin is doing he's still under, but he's a little better. The swelling has gone down, and it's good. Can you hear me?
There's a lot of background noise.
Let me see if I remove you from the speaker. Hold on.
Okay, that should work better, maybe.
Much better. Much better. Thank you.
The reason I also press one now is because I'm almost without a battery and I need to go run buy a cable. So I might even disconnect before the end of the show because I'm down to 16% or 17%. So I wanted to let Neil know that he's doing better. I don't know if he's going to come out of it. But the funny thing is what he was saying today about, you know, the hand movements and all that with the healing. And that's pretty much what I've been doing to him, right on the head, sort of like at the crown.
Perfect.
And it seems to evoke a good response.
Right. Well, the palm chakra has energy in it, Neil.
Yeah, it's true. The palm chakra does have energy in it, and without it being diluted, we can actually cure through the palm. Of course, it's not realistic to think that way, because it takes a high form of a human being and intelligence and know-how to be able to do that. So I'm not advocating that's how where medicine is. We have to rely on more on the traditional or maybe the holistic values of medicine. But Deanna, I know we did a reading, and I'm glad to hear that your cousin's doing better. We predicted progress. You know, maybe not outstanding progress, but we predicted progress, and that seems to be the report as we speak today, so I'm glad to hear that.
Thank you. And, of course, we need to know how to calibrate the energy that emanates from our hands, and that's something that I am completely ignorant about, but it's just an intuitive, you know, action.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, and you're using the, there's a natural resonant frequency that comes from the palm of the hand, and that energy, you know, hands-on, the energy that really made us more intelligent was that we had a thumb, and that thumb provided for us an area to be able to manipulate objects and formulate energy so that we could use the tool. Our hands usually, we think of our hands as holding tools, but we don't think of our hands as tools. So we actually have, we're really equipped to say that we are our own tool factory. And if we think of our hands as tools and not as holding tools, we can get to the essence of what our hands can do, especially as it interconnects with our brain. Now, you're using the seventh chakra, which immediately you're going from top to bottom. But that element that you're using, to me, in particular, because he's had strokes and whatnot, this has to do with blood flow and the brain activity and things like this. You're actually opening up the element of his crown to whereby you can transmit energy from the palm of your hand into the crown of his head. Now, the chakras of the body, there are seven major chakras of the body. There's also 21 minor chakras and numerous chakras thereafter. In the form of the 21 minor chakras, there are certain elements of the brain, and acupuncturists can tell you this too, that where there are openings, portals. And so when you find, you're kind of scoping, imagine that your hand is like a radar.
Like an eye.
Uh-huh. And so when you put your hand over the crown of the head, you can actually feel different vibrational portal holes and elements of the skull and the brain where you could find an opening and tap into that. It's the same thing that birds do when they go around a tree trying to find out where the insects are. They listen, they look for a little hole where the insect may have burrowed into the tree. Well, you're actually, what you're doing is your hand is a scanner. And so when you're moving your hand around the crown chakra, you're waiting for the vibration to occur where you can feel an opening. When you feel an opening, then you can sense the activity of what's going on in the patient or the subject's brain, and you can determine whether there's cancer there or there's a tumor there or pressure or ill thoughts or, on the other hand, something good and vital and healthy. And that's when you start to now transform your hand into that tool that now puts out energy. It goes into the brain itself and can burn just like a laser, just like chemo. And that makes a lot of sense to me. It's just the proper interpretation and analysis of what you're feeling when you're scanning the skull or the brain or the crown chakra with your palm of your hand.
What I noticed that while I was trying to reach, I guess, into the pineal gland, of course you can't, but what you notice the smoothness or the lack of smoothness and protuberances in the cranium, in the skull. And I noticed that right near the top, there's like a mountaintop, a little bit of a protuberance. So I concentrated on that. And I know he looked better in the... His eyes, he's under lesser sedation right now, so his eyes would try to open and somehow acknowledge without properly focusing. So, but I wanted to let you know that, and I couldn't last week, and that's why I didn't press, because it had not advanced enough.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's great, Deanna, and you're doing great work, and I'm glad that you shared that with us.
As far as Atlantis, since the first book I read at 17 when I arrived here was Edgar Cayce on Atlantis, or Casey. I think it was more like an Australian continent or whatever is missing between Africa, the south and the north of America, and Europe, if that is where it was. So more than a city, it would be like a huge continent. And it's probably closer to where the great Atlantic Trench is.
Yeah.
Where there's such depths.
I totally agree with that. That'd be a fascinating subject to go into.
Yeah,
we
have several callers now, Deanna. So
I'm going to go. Thank you. I might disappear from the phone lines, but I'll listen to it later.
All right.
Blessed week to both of you.
Thank you for the update, Deanna. We appreciate it. And, okay, that's it. Okay, I'm going to bring on our next caller here. Area code 203.
Good. Hi, good afternoon.
Hi, who's this?
I'm Soraya.
How do you spell your name, Soraya?
S-O-R-O-Y-A.
Good morning, Soraya. Where are you calling from? What's your birth date, please?
Good morning. I'm calling from Connecticut. My birth date is, you want the year too?
Yes, please. The full birth date, if you don't mind.
Okay, 7981.
7981. Wow, nice. Nice numbers.
Thank you.
458. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay, Soraya. What brings you to our show? I think this is our first conversation, actually. So welcome.
No, thank you. Yes.
What's your question?
Well, there's a lot been going on, so I'm just looking how I can best navigate through the situation. I've been having a lot of gut feelings, but nothing solidified itself as of yet.
Okay.
So if Spirit has any message for me or words of wisdom that I can take,
okay,
that'll be helpful. Mm-hmm.
Right, Neil?
Well, Soraya?
Soraya.
Soraya. S-O-R?
I've got the spelling.
S-O-R-O-Y-A. Soraya. Mm-hmm.
Soraya. Well, Soraya, you have a high frequency of energy, 7, 9, 8, or very high frequencies. They're spiritual. They're very high intensity energy levels. There's a lot of power in your energy. Indeed, your master number is 8. It's based upon 35 years of intense karma, the first 35 years of your life are intense karma. And,
wow.
33, so you've got 2 years to go. But in that element of spirituality and heightened intelligence, if you do apply yourself to that, even academically, hopefully, you're going to have some relationship problems.
Yeah.
And so you haven't mentioned that yet, but I'm telling you psychically, you know, the relationship problems are part of your karma too, because what's happened, Soria, is that you have gathered in your lifetimes enough karma in the relationship categories that have brought you back to the planet once again to resolve them. And so for the first, you've got about 2 more years to go before you find any strong clearance where a relationship doesn't just have to be karmic and have problems in it, and you're trying to resolve it, and then it breaks apart and all that kind of stuff. So,
exactly.
And that's what's happening, right?
Yeah, even with my spiritual life, you know, trying to find someone to link up with spiritually, you know, sometimes I feel as though I'm not respected, or, you know, they think I'm crazy, or, you know, we just don't see eye to eye, you know, so.
I hope we're talking about the third eye. But the mm-hmm. element of you being misunderstood, first of all, Soria, I want to impress upon you the fact that it's karmic. Don't worry about it. It's a karmic situation, because I think in a past life, you, in terms of your spirituality and your mysticism, you probably got more ego in it and you abused the system a little bit, and you formulated some of your gifts into areas of sexual dominance and things like this, infidelities. Now, this is past life. So it created a flood of energies that are now reaching into your life and challenging you. So the worst part of the story is that this will resolve itself through the age of 35. You got just a little bit over a year to go, under 2 years. And then things will start to shift, and you're going to find yourself in the 8 of your 81. And that is your master number, and that's when you have a tremendous rebirth. So the best thing, I don't have time to go into it right now, Soria, but the attitude of counseling you through the relationship energy right now could be crucial to reduce and relax the karmic intensity of what you're going through, and give you some explanation as to who you're with, from what lifetime they came in, and what was the damage that was done that you're trying to resolve now. But in many ways, you're going to feel misunderstood, and you're not going to see eye to eye, but that a lot of that buildup is due to karma, which will ultimately resolve itself.
Okay, because I found myself in a domestic violence situation, and I wasn't able to get over it. Let me say, personally, myself, because I am, like you said, that intense. So it's like, you know, I don't feel as though I should lose or be beaten or anything like that, so.
No, karma does not, well, let me get this straight. Karma does not suggest, the paying off of karma doesn't suggest that you remain a victim by any means. And you
are right.
By no means. And so you taking the proper measures and avenues to protect yourself and using the law system to do so is most crucial. And your healthy state of being should be so outstanding that you get out of this as fast as possible and allow the protective boundaries to stay fitted. But no, the violence of your energy is due to past life energies too. But that doesn't mean that they justify the actions. This is part of what I feel is part of your karma, but also an intelligent dialogue would open up more healthy avenues than just saying, oh, it's karma, so deal with it. No, it's more than that, but that requires much more speech and dialogue than what I can share with you on the radio.
And Soria, you're always welcome to call our show back, or you can get in touch with Neil directly. And his number is 562-596-7818. It's also listed in our show description, and you can join us on Facebook and right here on Blog Talk Radio as well. But it's there's more to investigate for sure in this, but Nice to have you on the show for the first time. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Okay. Neil, we've got about 4 callers left now. So everybody was kind of in flux at the last moment. So I'm going to quickly read the order. We're going to take caller 678 first. Then we have 561, 916, and 319. And we've got 24 minutes to take all of these callers. So 678, good morning.
Good morning. Hi.
Hi, who is this?
This is Regina.
Hi, Regina. And what's your birth date, Regina? And location, please.
1879, Georgia.
Interesting. Yeah. Deanna is 11-8. So there's a little bit of similarity there. 49-79. Interesting.
Same number, too.
And their years people do gather together in a tribal setting here. So you have past. It's funny. Wouldn't think you'd be connected to someone who's a caller that you don't know on the radio from the other side of the country, but it's true at times.
Wow.
But she's a 35-8.
They're both 35-8.
But Deanna is the similarity. She's a 33-6.
Soraya is 7-9, and that's her year.
Oh, yeah, but Deanna, I was pointing out, Deanna, 11-8, 1-8, 79 in the year's
cross. Our previous caller was the one that most connects to her.
I see that. They're all connected, though, I think.
Yeah, they are.
Okay, let's go on with the reading. I think, because we've got limited time. All right,
okay.
What's your question, Christina?
My question is about my career and see where it's heading. Will I get another job or where this is where I'm supposed to be for the time being?
Well, every job can assume a level of communication in the job, but do you have any intensity in the form of communication, a process of communication that involves your work per se? Is there anything intensely detailed about communication in your job?
No. Mm-mm.
No. What kind of work do you do, Regina?
I'm a counselor. Well, I actually have 2 jobs. And one is a counselor, and I talk to women in the health department, but it's not as like doing presentations and
Regina, stop. Red light. I asked about communication, and you said you're a counselor. That's communication.
Well, I don't do a lot of communication. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, but for the sake of our time, when you said counselors, your job description itself may be different, but when you say counselor, that's communication. Now, from there, we can... more of the details of you, but I was picking on the vibe of you being a communicator through the word counselor.
Okay.
So now where your part is you're saying, well, you know, I that's what I am, but my job description is a little bit different. Okay, so we can deviate from that point on. But the idea that a counselor and a communicator are the same, that's what's very important here. And so, I have to go on that vibe to correctly analyze your future because I've got to know that what I'm feeling and connecting to has some form of accuracy. So I think that what's going to happen here, 79, you are, 35. Oh, you're going through a big change right now.
Mm-hmm.
You're going through a huge change as we speak this year. Before January, so there's going to be a great shifting of your environment. You're going to be moved around a little bit, but then you're going to find yourself in the same structure, but in a different job energy of that structure.
Okay.
So, what's that?
I just said okay.
Yeah, so what I'm thinking right now as I'm speaking out loud, or thinking out loud, speaking out loud.
Well, you are.
Is that there's a shift going on in your environment. That shift prompts you to have a different role in that environment, but I don't necessarily see you leaving that environment, not yet, but that's inevitable. That will happen. The big shift is that somebody above you is leaving. That creates a different movement within the structure, and thereby you're moved around within that element of energy. Has any of that taken place yet?
No.
Okay, well, I think that that's what's forthcoming. Are there people above you at this job?
It's a couple of them, yes.
Okay, and have you heard about anybody leaving yet?
No, I haven't.
Well, that may be forthcoming. So, you know, your question is a little bit more intricate than, unfortunately, what I can give on the radio today because of the time limitation, but there's something. Do you want to stay in that company or leave?
Leave.
Okay, then, I said by January, it's inevitable. I said it's inevitable that you will be leaving. So I don't talk any more detail, but part of what I'm telling you has some truth in the fact that you will be leaving. But before you leave, there's going to be some kind of shift within the department. And that you'll still see happening before you leave.
Okay.
All right.
Thank
you. Well, we thank you all. And 562-596-7818 is Neil's direct number. And let me bring on our next caller. And I see what you're saying, Neil, about the, you know, I was looking at Deanna's birth date, but yeah, they're closer. 1-879, Soraya and Regina. It's like the same numbers.
Yeah, the year is the same as the month and day.
Right.
The,
I was, I hadn't even gone there. I was just looking at that 1-8 factor.
The only difference between them is that Regina's 35 years old, and so the big change is coming. I just feel that, you know, I think that change is going to hit her, but there's something within that company that's going to happen first.
Okay. 561, this is Lena, 376.
Hi.
Hi, Lena. Quickly updating Neil, Lena was without a job and you were having some difficulty with your home situation. What's going on right now?
Well, same situation. I've been with people on and off. I am doing some volunteer work at Habitat for Humanity. They might be giving me a part-time job, so I'm sort of at that point right now.
Okay. So you're staying with friends, you said? Sorry.
Yeah, on and off, different people. It just, there's nothing, you know, I can't get a place to live until I generate some income.
All right. She needs to generate some income because she doesn't have a job, but she's possibly getting part-time work through friends, did you say?
I'm volunteering at Habitat for Humanity.
Okay, well, that's
volunteering at what?
Habitat for Humanity.
Oh. And so you want to move, but you can't until you get work.
She doesn't have a home currently. She's living anywhere. She's staying with friends and things like that. She has no stable home.
But she's got a job where there could be pay?
She's volunteering, and then there's a possible part-time job coming. Is that right? I just want to make sure we have this.
Yeah, they're dragging their feet a little bit. I mean, I don't know what to think.
Okay.
I can't remember. Lena, do you have a son? Do you have a son?
Yeah, I have two sons.
Yeah, because I couldn't remember, but I was picking up a son around you.
I didn't either, so.
And so that son, S-O-N, is a little bit of how I would analyze your progress, because I've got to go into the karmic energy of your child and figure something out that has far-reaching energies going on in your job situation and your living situation. So that have to look at your, at least one of your two boys, if not both, analyze that energy to determine how to transport that information into the element of you being more autonomous and independent. So it has something to do with your boys. Did any of your boys go through any trouble wise, drug wise, drinking wise, any trouble with any of your boys?
Not that I know of, because I don't know. They're living with their father right now for the past 2.5 years when I lost my home.
How about you? How about the father problem, Mike?
The father has problem with addiction drugs, addiction medication.
Well, the father having the problem with addiction drugs medication is what I'm picking up on, and it's traveling through the element of the boys. And so we're getting into a situation, Lena, where I have to sort of determine if those boys, does he still have an addiction problem?
I don't know. We haven't lived together in 12 years.
Well, this is getting into a situation, Lena, Peru. Where I would have to really get into the attitude of why he has custody, why he hasn't.
Well, I lost my home. The kids, boys had nowhere to go. They had to go live with their father full time.
Yeah, well, why did you lose your home?
Because I lost my job. I lost my job. I couldn't afford to pay my rent.
Did you? Oh, so it was a rental, you didn't own the home.
Yeah.
And lose it.
No, it was an apartment.
Okay.
And did anyone ever work for anything to do with the aircraft, airlines, pilot, airplanes, anything anywhere in your life around that situation?
Yeah, my ex-husband's family, they're pilots. And he went to school for a short time for aviation.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm picking up on is the vibe. Your problem, Lena, is not an easy problem where you call up a radio show and you get an answer. You have a deeper problem going on. It's got a lot of karma in it. It'd have to be discussed, analyzed, taken apart, figured out how to dismantle this stuff. I'm using this current statement from the energy that I've been getting about you from your boys, from the addiction with the father, from the pilots. All of this is validation that my conclusion, at least for the radio show, is that you've got a problem that is not going to be easy to figure out. But it is measurably fixable. But boy, it's going to take some work. It's like you got a problem with the plumbing and, you know, Drano isn't doing it. You got to call the plumber. You need a plumber. You need something more and something you go up to the store and you buy a quick 10-minute solution. That's not what's going to happen here. No way. You need a deeper, you need a specialist of some form to get you to solve this. But it's solvable. It's solvable. You don't have to, you know, you just need somebody to fix it or help you fix it. That's all. But I can't go into great detail on the radio because we just don't have time.
Okay.
Okay, Lena.
Okay, thanks.
Sorry, that's not more, you know, of a quick fix than
well,
I mean, it'd be great to give her something solid to move forward with, but I know it's difficult in this situation. I mean, she's at one, so she's having problems in her, I mean, in the first chakra, obviously, and
yeah.
That's in her karmic energy, too, the 3-7. Higher is a one.
You know, what we gave was a flashlight. We turned it on. At least the light's on. Now you got to walk down the path. But that's where the light goes on, is to first understand what is the situation.
All right, 916. Good morning, 916.
Hi, this is Diana. Hi, 5754.
Hey.
Diana, it's been a while since I spoke with you.
Yeah, 5-7.
How does that, do you see any change in financial situation recently? Anytime?
Are you still in Florida, Diana?
Yes, I am. I am, but not much longer.
She's 5-7-54. She's a 29-11 too. Is that right? 54, Diana. I'm calling you Diana, which is the name of our other caller. Diana.
I'm 60 years old.
That's right, 54. And she's wanting a financial change, Neil.
No, she's 64. It's 64.
60. 60. I was born in 54.
5-4.
Oh, 5-4. Okay, 12, 22, 32. Do you get 31-4?
Is that what she is? What is wrong with me? I added, I'm so wrong. Well, I forgot your master number, Diana. It's been so long. Okay, 12, 22,
she's
plus 9, 31-4. She's 60 years old.
Yeah. Okay, what's the question?
Financial. She's wondering if there's going to be a financial change. I believe she's living in Florida. She's from California. She's living with her daughter. Is that right?
My daughter's house is foreclosed.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Wow.
You're living with your daughter and the house you're living in is being foreclosed upon?
Yes, and she's going to live with her father, so kind of leaves me living in a van.
You're going to live in a van?
Probably.
Car.
You'll know Chris Farley, I guess. Well, living in a van is not a good situation. Diana, whoever had a job with the government or some related government sponsor?
My daughter's father was in the military, but just for 4 years, and that was in the early 70s.
Doesn't matter. That's ever.
Okay. You mean, okay.
I would have to analyze this to the extent that your daughter's house is foreclosed. She's going to live with her father, and that leaves you kind of destitute. You're 31. Your master number is 4 by 31 years. You're 60 years old. Well, you've got your journey is going to be rough until you're 62. Things get better then. So again, I would have to go into a greater depth of energy to figure out how to maintain your stability for the next year and a half, so to speak.
And that's what I've told people. Over the last few weeks, I've said I've got a year and a half rough.
Yeah.
So you just repeated what I've been telling people.
There you go. Well, that's
I don't know.
It's workable terrain. You know, it's workable terrain. You'll make it if we don't get too panicky or get off too far off course. It's a trek that will bring at the age of 62 some relief. We just have to get you through this karmic journey that is being extended. And then when you're 62, 31 times 2, is you're going to be more involved in an element of some form of pleasure and happiness and things like that. But there is a certain desert quality. Remind me of a woman that's about to do a long trek through the desert wilderness.
And I just came back from that, too. I just got back in December. I had 2 years in the desert already.
Oh.
I wasn't ready to have to repeat the whole thing over again, you know. I have books ready.
there may be a way to maneuver through this, but, you know, again, the way that I envision it, the map is too much for a 5-minute reading. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Going to Disneyland, 5 minutes to go on the rides. You can't do it. All we can do is show you the entrance and Main Street and take a look and you're out. So right now, that's all I can offer you, but it's a way of getting in and starting to see the problem. And then from there, we work our way forward.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I know that. Call back in 3 months.
Okay, hopefully that's a start for you. Okay, Neil,
right.
And we have 2 callers left in 5 minutes. So we're going to need to go over because I've promised both of these callers, I believe, readings 319 and 610. Okay, 319. These are going to be fairly short. Good morning.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, thanks. Who's this?
This is Sherry, but I'm calling for my husband, and it's because he's been experiencing a lot of these panic anxiety attacks are starting to come up again, and I'm the one he always, expects to help him get through it. So his birth date is 6-17-69.
And what's his name?
Dean.
And your spelling of your name, Sherry, just real quick?
It's S-H-E-R-I.
Okay. 6-17-69, you said. 6-7-14.
That's his birthday.
12-3, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so...
And he's having panic.
And he's 45 years old. He's 45 years old, and he's got some panic stuff going on here. He's got a broken up 8. His drop is from 6 to 1, then it rises again from 6 to 9. He's got a 3, which is fire. So he's got some fear in the stomach chakra. His gut level, he has gut leveling. His panic and anxiety attacks, they do originate in his brain, but he's got a lot of third chakra elements to his energy. What about his body structure? Is he lean? Is he fat? Is he have stomach problems?
Stomach. He has a little bit of a gut, but always having stomach problems, and then it goes into bowel problems.
Well, that's
a lot.
That's my psychic evaluation. Psychic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a doctor. I can't be a doctor. I'm not a doctor. I'm not doing anything
right.
Illegal.
But you play on TV.
But I'm just psychic evaluating him. And to
right.
me, in the chakra system, stomach going downward, yeah. That's where a lot of his energy is. So to unravel this, has he had any therapy? Did he go through a therapist and talk about his childhood and his parents and all that stuff?
No, and there was a lot there, but he won't go do that either.
Well, he won't do that. Well, if he can medicate him, if he doesn't want to do it, he's not medicating himself properly by putting anxiety and panic attacks as his medicine. So he can't.
Right.
He's stubborn. He's stubborn, and he won't take, if he doesn't want to go to someone who can actually help him, and I admit there aren't many talented people out there, but the talented ones can do it. If he doesn't want to go through that, and he decides to medicate himself, well, he's not doing a good job. If he wants to if he wants you to medicate him, that's a whole different story. I keep seeing flashes of the cross. Is there any religious story in the background here with Christianity or Jesus or the cross or guilt or Catholic or whatever?
Not with him at all. I do Reiki on him. I put essential oils on him when he gets like this, and so like last night, 4 a.m, he wakes up and he's just beside himself, you know, And so I start, you know, and I'm glad you say it, the third chakra, because that's where I went immediately, was to the crown in the third chakra.
Yeah.
For some
what
reason.
What about you? Did you have a childhood of religion?
No, not at all.
I don't know why I'm seeing flashes of Christ on the cross. I don't know what it means yet. But regardless, I'm seeing it. I don't know. Maybe it has something to do with your healing element. You're on the right chakra, but does it help him, or is it just temporary relief when it falls upon you?
Well, it eventually it gets him calmed down, but I'm just like kind of curious. I guess my thought is, where is this coming from? Because I mean, you can't rely on somebody to heal you. You have to heal yourself, but.
Well, he does in some sense. He needs help in some sense, and I would want to investigate in my involvement why I'm getting these flashes of, what religion were you brought up in?
I wasn't. And neither was he. Neither one of us.
Really?
Weird.
What is going on
uh-uh.
here? I don't know. It's intriguing me because I'm seeing these elements. Anybody named Jesse or Jessica or any J form name?
Jesse.
Judy. I don't know. You don't
off
know.
Off the top
well,
of my head, I don't know.
I would. Okay,
maybe
so
I could.
I, What I would have to do, Sherry, is go into a deeper thought content, as far as my involvement is concerned, to figure out where this root energy is. The only thing about the third chakra is it's triangular, so there's mysticism in there, there's pyramid energy, there's a trinity factor in there. I'm not sure yet. I could be delving into a past life that he had that's getting contorted into this mess of his psyche. But this anxiety and panic level has got to be coming from something that might have a root system in a past life but has some form of energy in this lifetime. Did he have any siblings?
Yeah, he had a brother, a very abusive brother.
Yeah, well, that's where I'm starting to see it. And is that abusive brother still alive, or has he crossed over?
He passed over about a year ago.
Okay, so that's what I'm seeing. The element of his problem is stemming from his brother's energy, and his brother's trying to, I don't know how much he's trying to reach out to us on the radio, but there's the element that this is stemming from is brother, deceased brother, and brutality, okay?
Yeah.
All right, Sherry, but unfortunately, that's all the time we have for this reading. You can always give Neil a call back on the show or on his private line, 562-597-8818. You can join us on Facebook and Twitter as well. Let me give that to you again. 562-596-7818. But, you know, definitely worth exploring more deeply.
Yeah, I know. I'll give you a call, Neil.
Okay.
All right, Sherry. Thank you so much for your call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, we've got one more call, Neil. 610. Good morning.
Thanks so much for taking my call. Good morning.
You're welcome. Who's this?
Thank you. Adele?
Adele, A-D-E-L-E?
That's correct.
Okay, and what's your birth date and location, Adele?
Birth date is 10/23/73.
10/23/73.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. And I'm calling from Pennsylvania.
Is that right?
Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Okay, what's your question, Adele?
Yeah, my question is I currently have a great job, but I still feel that I'm missing the spiritual aspect of it. I need something that's a little bit more spiritually aligning. And I'm constantly looking for that, and I'm not finding that. So I was wondering if I could get some insight on when that might be coming my way. There are times that I feel that I should just quit and just focus on spirituality, or just focus on like modalities relating to that, or serving or healing. But again, just kind of feeling a little lost as to how it can get.
Well,
get
you're in the
that.
Right. You're, Adele, you're in the right area because your spiritual journey, your master number is 8. Now,
mm-hmm.
Previously in the past life, you were a 7. That was in your immediate past life, and that's the spiritual chakra, 7th chakra.
Okay.
Some reason in that lifetime, your previous lifetime, something got caught in your spiritual journey, and so it compelled you to come back again, and now you're an 8.
Mm-hmm.
Reaching back to that spiritual lifetime to figure out what went wrong. What went
mm-hmm.
wrong had to do with a lot of fiery energy. There was something in the fiery energy of your third chakra, as we mentioned the last caller,
mm-hmm.
that got in the way of your balance to spirituality. So now you
mm-hmm.
have to go back to a past life to discover what that was so it can make sense to you in this lifetime as to how to unravel it. In this lifetime, who was into fashion, dress design, sewing, dress?
My sister.
Uh-huh. What does she do?
Currently she just works. It has nothing to do with, because that's what she really went to school for, but that's not what she's pursuing.
That's all I need to know. So as I start to investigate how to help you journey through the past life troubles, I go into this lifetime to get some evidence. That comes out of your sister's energy. That will link me in a further analysis to what's going on in a past life or what went on in a past life that's stopping you from finding your spiritual essence in this lifetime to where your job can command more spirituality and you can have everything in complete in one circle of an energy. But this is traceable and workable. It just, again, another kind of reading that demands more than just running to the radio station and getting everything answered.
Okay.
It's difficult. But this shows me, again, there's an entryway to figure out how to analyze your energy and solve it.
Okay. All right.
Adele,
no, thank you.
Adele can reach Neil 562-596-7818. She can join us on Facebook, on Twitter, on Blog Talk Radio. And Neil, we're about done, but you were going to say something.
Well, you know, it's you know, I don't. The design of a radio show. I would love to solve everything on a radio show.
Of course.
But unfortunately, I didn't create the universe. Some things are just complicated, and they can't. This can't be resolved on a radio show.
And especially, I mean, especially given the time constraints, and then, you know, 30 minutes for six callers, which is essentially what we did. We do try to reach everybody, so at least we can get into the first level of resolving their issues.
If not, maybe, I mean, sometimes there's answers. I'm really glad when there's are quick answers.
Sometimes there are, yeah.
But oftentimes these radio readings open up the door to see what it is, and then that's all this time. But it does give some indication, hopefully some relief to people to get some information.
All right. Okay, well, we are back on the air on Wednesday, and we will see everybody then. Thanks for your service, Neil, and thanks to all our listeners and callers.
Thank you.